you guys a 10-minute. Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Denise S. from San Diego.
Hi, my name is Denise, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Denise.
I'm nervous about these things. Wow, I've been really nervous for like the last hour since I came here, and there's a lot of people here. It makes me feel really uncomfortable. This is not my natural state. My natural state is drunk, and I don't perform well in front of groups, so I'm going to try to do what I'm supposed to do here. I've been sober for 16 years, 11 months, and 2 weeks. And I'm really, really grateful for my sobriety. Thank you. I'm just going to try to tell what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today. And it's changed a lot in the last 16 years. I've been through a lot of things in the last 16 years. So when I first started drinking, I was 11 years old. The first drink I ever had was a really big cup of Jack Daniels. And I just drank the whole thing because I didn't know what I was doing. And it seemed like the right thing to do. And I got really, really drunk, and I got really, really sick. And, you know, I was a little tiny kid staggering around my neighborhood, throwing up in the street. You know, when I tried to lay down in my bed, I spun and spun and spun and spun and spun. And I'd get up and walk the street some more, try to not throw up anymore. And I kept throwing up. And when I woke up the next morning, I wanted to do that again. Every day. I loved it. It was the best time I ever had. And so that might make me alcoholic. And I drank a lot all through high school. I remember borrowing my mom's car, getting really drunk. I came out of a blackout once, cutting off a fire engine. Went back into a blackout. I don't know what happened the rest of that night. We would drive around and look for cars parked out on people's streets and just go into people's houses because we thought there was a lot of people there because there'd be alcohol in there, and that's what we did. And that was my life, and that's what I did. And I didn't care whose party it was. I didn't care who lived there. I didn't care who the people were. All I wanted to do was get drunk, and that was what I did. And I did finish high school or something, and I went to college. And when I was in college, I joined a fraternity, and and we drank a lot of beer, and we opened a fraternity at my house. We called it I Tap a Keg, and we invited people over to our house and drank a lot. But I graduated from college, and I have a degree. I don't know how I got that, and I have 2 teaching credentials, and I don't know how I got those. And I'm actually a kindergarten teacher now today, but I used to be your child's drunk teacher. Now I'm not that anymore, so I thank God for that. And you can be happier about that, too. So it was really bad. At the very last year of my drinking, at the end of my drinking, all I ever did was plan on drinking, recover from drinking, or actually drink. That's all my life was about. And the only time I was planning on drinking or recovering from drinking was really at work. I was recovering and then planning, and then when I got off work, I drank again. And that's all I did. That was my whole life. And if I wasn't working, then I just drank around the clock all the time. And at the end of my drinking, I had this little tweaker boyfriend, and he said I had a problem with drinking, and I thought that was really, you know, wrong of him to think that I had a problem when he obviously had a problem. And I was embarrassed by that, and so I told him, you know, I'll show you. I'm going to stop drinking. And so I was going to stop drinking and not drink anymore, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't stop drinking for even one day, and my intent was to not drink. And I drank every single day. And I would walk in. I would just come about and discover I was in a bar. Like it says in the book, you know, I'd just, like, be pounding on the bar going, how did I get here? I don't even know how I got here. And I drank every single day. And I was only going to quit for 2 weeks because it was my friend Kathy's birthday and we were going to go out and party on that night. So for 2 weeks, I wasn't going to drink. And for 2 weeks, I drank every single day. And it kind of freaked me out. And then it was Kathy's birthday, and I wasn't going to drink. And I told her, like, right when I walked into the bar, I said, you know, Kathy, I'm not going to drink because I'm not drinking anymore. And she's like, whatever. And she ordered me a drink, and then I got drunk, and I passed out on her couch. And then at 2 o'clock in the morning, her roommate came home, and he kind of pissed me off, and I drove home. And I really had a driving problem when I first, you know, when I was, I had a really serious driving problem. I drove every single day drunk. And so I was really trying to quit driving more than drinking. But so I was driving home, and I was very, very drunk, and it was pouring down rain, and I didn't know where I was, and I was crying. And in my car, I said this prayer that I know now is a prayer, and it's, God, what's wrong with me? And I got home, and I passed out and went to sleep. And when I woke up in the morning, I didn't have a hangover, which was a miracle because I always had a hangover. And I knew what was wrong with me. And I called Alcoholics Anonymous, and I asked if I could join. And they told me to go to a meeting, and I went to a meeting, and I've been sober ever since. And it's a miracle that I just walked across the threshold of Alcoholics Anonymous and became sober. And I think that the only thing that I can say that made that happen for me is that I was willing. I had willingness. And, you know, I don't know that I was open-minded, but I was willing to be open-minded. And I don't know if I was particularly honest, but I was at least willing to be honest. And I was willing to do anything that anybody told me to do. And, you know, I walked in the rooms, and I was confused, and I was scared, and I didn't know anybody, and I didn't know what was going on. But I was willing to do whatever you said. And I met my higher power there. His name was Jim. And he was a shimmering beacon of sobriety. He had 9 months of sobriety. And he was amazing. And I followed him around wherever he went. And I did whatever he did. And, you know, one day he came up to me and he said, Denise, I want to introduce you to these people over here. They're women. And you should go hang out with them. And because Jim told me to do that, I did. I started hanging out with women, and I started going to women's meetings, and I got a sponsor, and I worked all 12 of the steps to the best of my ability. And then after 9 months of that, I realized I was in Orange County, which I'm from San Diego. So I moved back to San Diego, and I started my new life here in San Diego. And when I came back from Orange County to San Diego, I did what I had learned to do in Alcoholics Anonymous. I went to women's meetings. I got a sponsor. I worked the steps. I got involved in the program, and I got into, you know, as much action as I possibly could get into in the program. And then somebody told me that I could date, and because I'd been sober for a while, so I dated, and then I'd never really dated before. I didn't know how to do that, and I got married instead. And and then I had a daughter, and then I realized my husband was alcoholic, and that was really bad. But I continued to stay sober, and you know, life does continue to happen for me. Like I didn't realize, I went to Al-Anon for a while, and I did all kinds of crazy stuff in that marriage. But I stayed sober, and I continued to work with other, you know, to talk to other people, to stay in the program, and do what I'm supposed to do in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I got through that marriage and divorce, and you know, I stayed sober. And that's been going on now for 3 years. And in the last 3 years, I actually picked up a sort of an outside issue. And I started going to a new, different kind of program that has changed my, my thinking about my sobriety. This other thing that I was doing was going to take me back to drinking. Basically, I had this little thing in my mind, this little voice. Like every time I read the big book, and when I read the steps, and especially when I read step 6, you know, I'd read those parts where it says, about the pride and the greed and the lust and the envy and those things that are bad, gluttony and sloth and all those things. And I had this little voice in the back of my mind going, not that. I was like, okay, not that. And I just ignored that, you know, and I didn't address that problem. And it got really, really bad, and it was going to take me back out to drinking, and I recognized that. And so I got the help that I needed, because I knew, like, what was happening is I wasn't able to talk to people about this other problem. Like, I'd try to talk to my sponsor about this problem, and I couldn't. And so I went to seek help. Like it says in the big book, you know, if we have, that we realize we know only a little, and then if you have other problems, you should seek outside help. So I did get the help that I needed, and that little voice is quiet now. It's not telling me, you know, oh, Denise, you should do these crazy things, because, you know, I was always doing that, and I'm can I be done now? All right. Thank you.